This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, you know I'm passionate and committed to education. You hear it a lot. You're going to love this episode we recorded live at Vision 2022 with four educators. You need to know what's going on. Hey, thanks to our partners, Apex and Shopware, for providing you this episode. You know, don't miss the next free Apex webinar. These free and timely webinars cover the hottest technical and business management topics, and they run now until September 2022. Topics like ADAS, start-stop diagnostics, and even service advisor training. Go to aapexshow.com/webinar and sign up for these classes as part of the new Apex Repair Shop HQ series. They're free. Hey, sure, you know your customers love you because they keep coming back, but you should probably capture that testimonial in writing with a 5-star rating prompted by Broadly inside the Shopware app. Learn more at my friends at GetShopware.com. Hey, welcome back to the Vision 2022 Studios Remarkable Results Radio. I hooked up with Tim Dwyer from Consult Labs, great friend of mine, been on the show before. And actually, Tim, I think you called me. He's in the audience here. I've got this educators panel that's going to knock your socks off. So please hang in there. You know how big I am on education, apprenticing, and internships, right? You all know that. And Tim called me and he says, listen, we're not going to really have the educator think tank as big as it always was at Vision. There's been so many changes. And I've got four trainers, teachers, great backgrounds, been in the industry a long time. You're all full-timers, yes? Cool. That was a head nod for everyone, in case you all wanted to know. I have here with me is Jared Monroe, automotive technology instructor, Columbia Public Schools, Columbia, Missouri.
Hi.
Hey, there's Jared. Great. Good to have you here, Jared. Automotive tech. So you're an instructor.
I am.
You love what you do?
I love it.
Cool. See, that's it. Never work a day in your life. Chris Hadfield is here. Now, listen to this title. Trust me, I was so impressed. He's the executive director of the Minnesota Education High School and Colleges.
Correct.
I mean, I can't wait to hear more about that and all that you do. Bill Lieb is here from Fort Osage.
That'd be Fort Osage.
Why do I always do that? Why do I, every time I see a name, I always, Fort Osage. Now I got it. I should have asked previous to that. So forgive me, everyone. Independence, Missouri, automotive instructor. Good to have you here, man. So Richard Cox is here from North Central Kansas Technical College, automotive technology instructor and the department chair.
Yes, welcome, and thanks for having me.
We're happy to have you here. Guys, the theme for tomorrow, they're here tomorrow. Tim is going to be a panel discussion, just an open forum thing. It's an open forum thing about celebrating instructors. I don't think we do enough of that. Really, you know, I'm involved. My listeners know I'm involved in an advisory panel at Erie Community College in Western New York. Boy, I know what's going on. We need part-time instructors. We need a new building. There's more corporate programs that want to join. You know, the college knows we have a technician shortage, but yet there's budget constraints. And, you know, they know our program can grow. So we're here to talk about that. You, as an independent store owner, service advisor, technician, you've got to be committed to education. You have to be, because you made that process, and you either own a shop, you're working at a counter, you're a technician that could have gone through a program like this. You got to go back and you got to figure out how to pay it back or pay it forward. So, Tim, when you brought me this idea, I was excited because I've never had a panel like this ever on the show. And so I am honored. By the way, let me back up one more moment and say that every instructor at this level has to be certified every year with 20 hours of particular education, right? And I know they're getting it in many different ways from manufacturers and parts suppliers that are out there, probably online. But you come to Vision and you work, what do you get, maybe 8 to 16 hours toward your 20 while you're here? Just and by the way, they left a class just to be here because you're all here being instructed. Think about the level of training that goes on here at Vision, and think about the immersion that our instructors are going to take back and they're going to say, ooh, I learned about this. I figured a shortcut here. I met another teacher. I met a shop owner over here. And the networking piece that I think goes on here at Vision is even bigger and better than the investment you're making in that time. And meeting instructors, I think, Jared, you've never met Bill. And so as instructors now, there's these neat new connections by just passing a business card.
Absolutely.
And my challenge is to you, and you've always heard me say this over and over again, please get involved in advisory boards. As the chair, for example, Richard, you're probably always looking for some fresh blood, fresh ideas to join your advisory board?
Oh, well, yes, we are. We're always looking for new business owners to come in to have the opportunity to partake. This is, you know, their community, and they want to hire students out of our program, so it's really essential for them to be part of it and to help us out. We really rely on our community and our business owners to help us. Without them, you know, where are our students going to go? So if you want a quality student, your input is vital.
How big is your advisory board?
15.
15. Nice size.
Yes, it's really nice size.
Independents versus dealers. What's the ratio?
We have business owners, managers, technicians, former students.
Cool.
So it's a really wide variety, even parts suppliers.
Good.
Perfect. We have a little bit of everybody from around.
It's a big mix.
Yes.
Did you ever stand in front of your advisory board and says, we need this, who's going to help us with it?
Oh, yeah. The big green dollar signs, that's not always about that. It's always about, you know, there's so many more things they can do to help besides just, you know, money. I know everybody talks about money and buildings, but to get there and to get recognition, you have to grow. And in order to grow, you really need to start with a solid program. And that's where the instructor comes in to rely on his advisory board to help guide them and do what they can do to make that program successful.
Great. Well said. And I didn't mean that Gravel 101 was the most important thing. But yeah, it's great that even if the advisory board gets in front of the leadership of the college and they say, yeah, and meet people. I mean, I had a chance to do that about 3 or 4 years ago. Me and another guy who were there, we got the department $100,000 just by saying, do you know where the technology is going? Do you know what we need? Do you know that car is this, you know, technology 60 mile an hour missile that we need to figure out, you know, when it goes left instead of right, we have to figure it out and we need this high-tech tools. It was refreshing to see that the college back then, before COVID, pre-COVID, PC, we're going to talk about that forever, aren't we, guys? Did COVID, Jared, what was it like? I mean, did you have to have social distancing? Did your labs get smaller?
So when COVID first started, we were here at Vision, went back.
I remember.
About March 15th.
Yeah.
They, you know, called it, and we were online.
Yeah.
And we did that for the rest of the year. You know, they had a couple of dates where they said we were possibly going to come back after spring break, and it just didn't happen. So we went online for the rest of that year, went through the summer, and then we were able to get my students, you know, automotive students, construction, welding, they were able to come back before everybody else.
Okay.
So we had them in the shop, and then numbers started rising again, so then we went back online. So we didn't really get back in the classroom on a regular basis until after the first of the year.
You can't build a house online. I know some people try to fix cars online. We don't want that. You know, your instructor is essential, so hands-on is key in technical education. Career technical education is about hands-on, face-to-face. And that was the hard part was not being able to do that, you know, when the COVID hit.
Absolutely.
When you're a kinetic learner, you got to touch something, right?
Right.
Wow. And not to have a lab.
Right.
How frustrated were you sitting at home? You were probably doing virtual, right?
We were doing virtual.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were able to go in the building and facilitate that from the building. So, you know, we would have Zoom meetings, you know, a couple times a week. But there was no hands-on. So
no hands-on.
That made it really difficult.
From your perspective, Bill, how did the students adapt to this? I mean, were they all in?
Well, I think initially, as Jared mentioned, when the school year kind of got shut down, it was quite an evolution of what an instructor had to do to bring virtual learning to the student. That's another form of, as they used to call it, shifting, right? We call it cars a different thing, but we had to shift and move and adapt and learn new tools. So actually automotive training probably didn't exist as much over the past that year. It's all the new teaching strategies to try to learn how to teach virtually and make things electronic. We learned more about Zoom and Google Meets and products that can make it available to the student.
That's such a great point, guys. You almost had to relearn, relearn how to do it virtually. You've done virtual training pre-COVID?
No.
Never?
Never.
No.
Wow. Chris, as the executive director of the Minnesota CTE program, or Transportation Center of Excellence, so impressed that we have somebody of your caliber, you know, that high up, if you will, overseeing CTE. Were you in that job when COVID hit?
No. I mean, I was in my current job, yes.
Okay.
But I was an instructor before that.
You were an instructor during COVID?
No, before COVID.
Just before COVID. Okay. And COVID hit, what position were you in?
My current position.
Your current position. So it rests on your shoulders
to
figure this out.
Yeah, everybody remembers this. I was in Vision 2020, just like everybody else here was. Yeah. Jared and I were in a class, and we got home, and everything got shut down the moment we got home. And I can remember it like it was yesterday. There were teachers. My phone didn't stop ringing, looking for support all over the place, all over the entire state, high school, college. What are we going to do? Like Jared said, we did get some exceptions for transportation programs across the state to go back to in person later on.
You would think that you would, because we were a business and an industry that was essential.
Yeah, we were categorized as essential. Okay. So colleges went back, but high schools didn't.
Right.
And that was a big challenge, is that the colleges went back. But the instructors didn't have, we all come from the automotive industry, we all have mechanical backgrounds, we were taught, and in our jobs we have credentials to get in, not degrees. And so we know how to work on cars, we know how to teach students, but we didn't know how to do that electronically across the board. And so we came to this enormous learning curve that was a must-have learning curve right away. And we had to figure it out. And we had to learn ourselves how does Zoom work. We had to learn ourselves how does CDX work. We had to learn how do we do this, and how do we do this virtually.
Hey, Carm here. Coming up, how do you find people to be instructors if they've never taught before? Hey, Apex has announced a new and exciting webinar series produced by Shop Owner and Tire Review that will offer training on automotive technology and business management. See all the classes and register at aapexshow.com/webinar. Now stay ahead of the curve and don't miss these free Apex webinars that run now until September 2022. These webinars are part of a new 8-part Apex Repair Shop HQ series that will provide essential takeaways on ADAS and alignment diagnostics, hiring and retaining employees, no-code drivability diagnostic strategies, service advisor customer satisfaction strategies, navigating the rapids ahead, and start-stop system diagnostics. Each 45-minute webinar is recorded so you can share it with your team. See a complete list and attend any or all webinars. Simply register at aapexshow.com/webinar. You got to stay ahead of the curve, and you know that. Don't miss the next free Apex webinar. Register now, aapexshow.com/webinar. Hey, we all have bad days when we just want to turn to someone and ask, how the heck do I fix this? When that happens to you on the business side, which may not be your strong suit, you want someone quick, and you want them to be clear. That's exactly what Dan Groen from Detroit Garage found when he peppered the folks at Shopware with questions about how to make the most of its shop management system. As he puts it, they continually solve the curveballs we throw at them. With 7 shops, Dan jokes that he knows he's a demanding client, but that's the sign of a guy committed to his business. Even better, the Shopware support team met every challenge with, in Dan's words, impressive capabilities and vigor. No complaints, no hassles, just a commitment to help Dan through his day. As Dan says, we make each other stronger. Now that's a partnership that works. It's time. Get Shopware.com.
I've heard of a piece of software called Blackboarder. You know, there's certain kind of educational tools. Were you using something like that? Would it be instructor and students, or is it just the videos that you would put up?
Well, there's Blackboard, there's D2L, and there's a few, and there's Google Classroom as well.
Right.
And some instructors across the nation in automotive, maybe before COVID, maybe 10 to 15% were using it. Maybe. On that, I think that's pretty generous. Yeah. But now it's close to 100%.
Yeah.
Because we had to. We just had to adopt.
Would you ever go back to a hybrid model?
Not by choice.
All the teachers I talk to or myself, I don't think that we would ever go back to a hybrid model, but there are absolutely lessons learned from that time of COVID that we're applying now to make the situation better or to make connecting with our students
better. And what would that be?
Well, for example, many of our students were born with a cell phone in their hand or born with some type of electronic device, and it was connected to the internet really well before when they were kids, when they were young. So their world of growing up is connected to that device. So if you have material, a great video, an augmented reality, or something like that that helps explain something a little bit better, it connects with them better. Then when they get to the shop to practice, when they get to our labs to practice it or to listen to us or to watch us, it's clicking a little bit more than it used to because we're able to kind of, well, we're meeting them where they are. We're meeting them where they began.
So as instructors, are you jiggy with that? Is it working?
Yeah, I would say, you know, just to jump on that, adapting our programs, if you would have asked us to do this prior to COVID, you would have met a lot of resistance.
Sure.
But after doing this, this now turns into a positive. It becomes another way to reach our students, connect to them in a platform that they're familiar with. But then we can make it more meaningful than maybe some of their general education classes. There are some pros and cons to the electronic connection, but besides teaching automotive, we're, I would say, mostly found at the high school level, we're dealing with the whole social aspect of the student and trying to reach them and connect to them. And you know, we share a common interest of this case, automotive studies, but we're trying to counsel them and guide them and be there for them.
A thought that I just had was, remember I asked you about hybrid? Chris, you know, labs are really important. We need to spend a lot of time there. And, you know, let's not go into the cart count, if you will, in labs, in social distancing. I mean kid count or student count, right? And again, I don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm an idea thinker. And what if lectures were virtual and we concentrated more on hands-on and more on the lab? Am I thinking somewhere right here?
Yeah, you know, that's a trend that's going. It wasn't even really a trend before COVID. And now that COVID happened, we're seeing it as a trend that's gaining steam very fast, where teachers are recording their lecture, video recording their lecture, or pre-recording their lecture, or allowing students to record it and then put it online. Because now if they missed it because they were legitimately sick, they didn't really miss it because they can watch it. Or if they didn't quite 100% get it the very first time when it was live, they can feel comfortable enough and not shamed to go back and watch it again. Because oftentimes, you know, there's this shame that you didn't get it the first time. And now we can reach those students to say, you know what, it's okay. Go online on your device after school, you know, while you're sitting at home, and watch that lecture one more time. Go through it one more time. Go through it two more times. Go through it three more times. That's fine. We also are seeing that if you can reduce the amount of time that it takes to be in the classroom doing the lecture amount, you can increase the amount of lab time, which is really what almost every instructor really wants.
Sure. Jared, do you love leading a lab?
I love it. So, I mean, we do about 50-50.
Okay.
The way we've broken it up is that half the class will be in the shop one day, the other half will be in the classroom doing, you know, their modules, and then they'll flip the next day. So they do that throughout the week, so they're both getting equal amount of time in the shop and then getting their book work done. So, but yeah, we're in the shop quite a bit.
Bill, you looked at me and you pointed to me when I said that about that hybrid thing. You think that's going to be part of our future?
Oh yeah, I think what it is, it's modeling what industry is doing. I mean, if you're going to get training and be want to send off to factory training somewhere, you have to meet some prerequisites to go there. So,
guys, it's almost like the assessment. Take the lecture, let's get in the lab and find out what you learned. It's like, it's the show me. Lab's the show me time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. The education is to a certain extent mimicking what's happening in industry. There's a lot of really great options online, and there's a lot of really great things that are in person, but the onlines are accessible, they're flexible, And oftentimes we didn't, before COVID, I don't know that we were 100% flexible or accommodating, or that we understood our current students really, really, really well.
Are you saying thank God for COVID?
No.
Trust me, some of the interviews I've done while I'm here was, it was Bob Cooper who was there, and he says, COVID was a blessing. We just don't realize it yet. And for some particular points in some strategies in the business, some growing up we had to do, and that whole paradigm shift, you take some old timers and you say, you're never going to get me kicking and screaming to ever do a virtual class or get in front of a camera. And now they say, I can't believe how stubborn I was, or this is really a cool thing, and it's nice.
Well, Carm, as automotive instructors, I think we have a lot of adversity that's thrown in our face every day. We have difficult cars to complex cars, changing technology all the time. And then we have students who have behavior challenges, issues, family life issues. They're trying to mature at the same time as being trained. Our politics within our schools that we have to deal with too.
No.
So yeah, so whoever heard of that? And then so we have all this stuff going on anyway. And so I think when COVID hit, it was just another thing that was thrown in our face, another challenge that we had to rise to, but we were used to rising to challenges. And so we rose to that challenge, I think, as instructors across the nation.
And I think it's important to remember that the students had to do that also. Yeah. You know, they had never learned online, and they had never, went through the same things we were going through. So
you put a big backpack on, you threw the students in it, and you walked down the aisle with them.
Right.
Yeah. And they didn't sign up for being online.
No.
They signed up for being in person.
Yeah.
That's what they wanted. That's what was advertised. That's what we were supposed to give them.
Yeah, they're studying college for the first time, and it's not anywhere what they expected, right, especially when COVID hit. Do you need instructors? I mean, I don't know about you, but my college is, they've got a lot of retirements. They're luring them back to be part-time to fill the labs. You know, we got a lot of students, not enough instructors. Our college is looking for part-timers, which are called adjunct instructors. Don't know where that word came from, but it's a fancy name for, hey, you want a part-time job. Where are you finding your people? What's the lure of part-time? Do you have to have any kind of certification or AAS, AOS, MS something, Masters of Education, MSE? Give us some highlights. First of all, your three instructors are all full-time?
Correct.
Okay, cool. Talk to me about this.
We've had some instructors retire here lately, and so one thing that was really good with a strong advisory board is one of our advisory board members became our next instructor, and he has done extremely well. And sometimes it's hard to get a part-time person because of the pay, so you really have to have the desire and the want to teach somebody, your trade. So sometimes we do get older guys, who are wanting to still help. And so those are the ones, you kind of lean on. I graduated from my NCK Tech in 92. Spent 20 years in the industry. And I remember when I graduated, I told my instructor, I said, I'm going to come back here and teach one day. He laughed at me and he goes, Richard, when you do that, you let me know. And so the local newspaper did a write-up, a piece on me. And after that newspaper article, a couple months later, I heard his voice. I won't repeat what he said, but I heard his voice in the shop. Looks like they'll hire, and then I turn around, and there he was. He came all the way from Oklahoma just to see me.
Oh, my.
The passion for teaching is something that, you want to give back, and that's what I wanted to do, is give back. And so when this industry is moving so fast and changes so much, everybody can add to it. Anybody and everybody could be a part of it. Yeah. So
I think you said it perfectly. You're not going to go out and get a part-time gig at your alma mater or at the local college if you're looking to get rich. You want to do it because you want to give back. And at this meeting that we had in Buffalo, where the department chair of our college says, look at, you're all master technicians and shop owners. Who's going to start giving back? You're not going to get rich. Can you come in and help us? Can you pick up one night? And it was a plea from the chairman. You're chairman, Richard, of your department and an instructor. What other courses are you teaching? Ford Asset? Do you all have corporate programs?
we participate in the 4 days program.
So do we, yeah.
Okay.
So. Yeah, we participate in a 4 days program too.
Okay, all right. But that's all you have, right? Well, our college has like 3 or 4 different corporate programs and more want in. And I think it's really kind of a move for it's not a money grab, but it's they want a place to hold it. So we're kind of raising our hand trying to figure out how to do that.
Statistically, the need for instructors in the automotive high school and college is about the same as it's always been. But there's definitely a change, though, is that we're trying to find people who are really actually passionate and want to do it.
Yeah.
Not just somebody who couldn't make flat rate in the industry and couldn't make enough money, so they decided to be a teacher because they were too detailed or something like that. No, it has to be somebody that actually wants to teach, wants to make a difference in a student's life. And I think that's what's changed over the last couple of years, is that more of the hiring, the deans and the principals that are hiring and things like that, they're looking for people who actually want to be there and actually want to do it.
Richard, you're the chairman of your department, so you're the person who is maybe not necessarily going to do the hiring, but you're going to find the candidate and then present it upstairs?
Correct. That is correct. And I also participate in the interviews too, but yeah, I bring them to our administration for interviews.
What are you looking for?
I'm looking for somebody who has a desire and a passion to teach somebody else their trade and what they know. It's not so much teaching them how, you know, the book stuff. There's so much more that we can do as instructors, you know, teaching them our tips and tricks that we've learned over the years that can actually save these kids, you know, some time and they can shine when they get out of your school and they get hired. And I've had kids graduate and employers call me back and say, wow, you know, you're doing really well there. These guys are coming out doing extremely well, and that makes you feel good, and that keeps you going and keeps you wanting to go. And that's the kind of instructor I want to hire, is somebody who wants to be part of that, not just show up to make a check and get, you know, summers off.
Finding someone that is interested in teaching is kind of tricky when they have never taught. My short experience was I started teaching as an adjunct to become a better tech. I wasn't on an advisory board, and I never went to what we call now a career center, which used to be called vocational education. So shaking that stigma from vocational education to career education has been an ongoing challenge since I've started at the 16 years ago. To get people on advisory committees, to reach out into your community, to get them involved in your program so they can see what you're doing. If they have an idea what it might have looked like, it looks entirely different today. And now advisory members can come from all over and really be engaged in the program. And then you'll find support you need. I look as an educator, they used to say, those that can't do, teach.
Yeah.
Right? That used to be that. But I look at
and you know, that hurt.
It did.
That hurt so bad for years.
Yeah.
And those are, if you will, bullies or keyboard warriors that say stuff like that.
You know, I say we were part of the transportation umbrella. We are part of this.
Yeah.
And we're giving back, but we are a valuable part of this, especially at the high school level, to get them to the college level.
There are some students that will look at a teacher and say, you changed my life. How is that you can't do? How is that? Because then you have to teach. It seems like a teacher has a calling like no other.
For a lot of us, it's a vocation.
Yeah.
You know, we love cars. We love working. We love the industry. But we found our niche in our vocation, working with those students and getting them going. And you're right. There's, I think I personally had to battle the, if you can't do, then you end up teaching. We've had to battle that for many years, and it's hard. It is hard.
We have the same problem with the business coach side of our industry. We're saying, well, he couldn't run a good shop, so he started a coaching and consulting company. We hear it all the time. That's just another excuse why not to.
At the college level, and you guys can join in with this, of course, I've seen very, very qualified individuals that have been teaching as an adjunct not get offered the lead or the full-time position because of a credential of a higher degree to make them qualified to teach a class, whether they had automotive experience or not.
Can we talk about that? I mean, because I remember a friend who said, I'm getting out from being a tech, and he joined our college, and he says, but I had to go back to school, and I spent all this money, and I had to be away from, and I it was like 3 years part-time to get his credential or certification, whatever it was in teaching. And I said, you're so good at what you do, your passion is now to teach, and you're not qualified? It's like you can't even be a part-timer. What great, talented instructor that we have doesn't have an zero. And so I keep saying, can you look the other way? Can you look the other way? Can you bring this guy on and just look the other way? Well, it may be a few years before we go out and say, hey, this person doesn't have those credentials. And you say, look the other way, look the other way. How are we going to find this great part-time talent if we say they can't teach?
Yeah. Well, you know, for many years at the technical college level across the nation, you had to have a credential, which meant that you had to have usually a diploma or an associate's degree in the field that you were working in automotive, plus maybe 5 years of experience, plus some recency. Maybe it had to be with a year, 2,000 hours had to be within the last 5 years or something like that, right? And so that still exists mainly at the tech college, but the high schools, where Bill, we really need to make a difference. There's still a challenge. Many states years ago you had to have a license, which meant you had to have a bachelor's degree, and then you had to have a license just to teach automotive. And recently, in the last couple of years, there's been a lot of states, Minnesota is one of them, where we have a variance rule. Like you said, Carm, are you qualified to teach just to teach? Are you passionate enough to get there? Because if you are, the school can now hire you on a limited variance.
How long is that?
Usually 3 to 5 years, depending on the state.
Look the other way. Let's do it again.
Well, they're not looking the other way. They're saying on paper, we know you're not qualified to teach yet, but we're going to get you there. So we'll partner with you to get some classes. We'll partner with you to get a degree whatever it is.
And I'm not saying that understanding the student-teacher relationship isn't important. I'm not saying that there's a certain way to present that's important. Right. But you've been through classes here at Vision. Look at the people that have been in front of you. Right. Would you be desirous to have them on your part-time staff?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. My point is that there's so much great talent out there.
Yeah.
Don't block the door.
Well, I think the key is that it's not moving fast enough.
Okay.
It's not moving fast.
Maybe that's one of the reasons we're doing this.
Right.
Not only will the industry hear this and your peers will hear this, maybe we need to send this episode. And we've got a lot of different topics here, but we need to send it to some places that may make a difference. Let them hear this. Okay.
Right.
Sure.
Well, it also doesn't stop in the classroom or on the school level. You know, there's mentorship programs that technicians can get involved in at the shops, and they can mentor. You know, if you can't get a teaching job because of a certification, that doesn't mean you can't still make a difference.
Got it.
At our school, what we implemented is when we hire somebody, we want to hire the right candidate. So we provide the teacher, we have a program that we provide, teach the mechanic how to teach. And so we offer that to all of our new incoming teachers, and it has worked out really well. But, you know, you look at us, well, master technicians, that's 10 different areas, plus advanced level technology certification. In my 20 years working mostly for General Motors, you know, my boss told me one day, he goes, you know what, Richard? You've gone through more schooling and more class than a dentist. You know, and I thought about it, and I looked at all my hours of training over the years and everything I've done, being a gold level tech, and I go, he's right. He is absolutely right. So we are the masters of our trade. Give us a chance to prove that we have a passion to teach and help us with some of just the fundamentals on how to reach a student.
That's the second time I've heard that in the last 2 days. Did I hear it from you, Tim, or not? You'll take credit for it. It's the second time I heard the dentist's training story. The second time. We've done a terrible job of explaining what our technicians have to go through, our students have to go through, you guys have to go through. And we're not taking this for granted. We just don't look at it and say, well, leave it here for a couple of days, I'll try to figure it out. No, leave it here. We've got really good, you know, A, B, and C techs. There's an interesting discussion that we're going to have on the podcast one day. What is an A? What is a B? What is a C? And A, you could be the best mechanical guy in the world. You really should be an A. You shouldn't be out of that class. You shouldn't be a B just because the diagnostician is an A. There's some really interesting bubbling stuff that we're going to cover on the podcast about that. But, okay, look at students. Where are we getting our students?
Quite a few years ago, we expanded our high school program. And when we expanded our high school program and started tapped into the local high schools to come to the colleges. We integrated our high schoolers in with our first-year college students. So the high school kid has taken the exact same class, same everything that their first-year college student is. And that kind of really helped with the promotional aspect. Students, you know, they talk. Kids talk amongst each other, and they're like, hey, you know, things are going great down there at the technical college. You know, you're really learning how to fix stuff. And if you're really in with the college kids and you've got these college instructors teaching you, and it's not just, you know, when I was young, you know, a shop class, you know, was quite different than what shop class is today. You know, these students are in technical college. So our high school program, they can come junior and senior year. It's half day each day, and then when they graduate high school, they come straight over to me second year.
And they're getting credits, right?
Yeah, and then they get their associate's degree. And so they walk away with their associate's degree and 2-year, you know, mechanical knowledge of all the technology.
AOS or AAS, guys?
AAS.
AAS.
So is okay, so that our audience knows, the AAS has some liberal arts in it, and an AOS doesn't. And there's more lab time. You've got more hours to teach, right? But is AAS, because you've got to have, what, some English and some math and yep. some science, is that a stumble? Does that get in the way?
You'll hear the students complain about it. They're like, well, what? You know, well, you know what? If you're a technician, you know exactly how important math is. When you talk to customers, you have to be able to talk to customers in a respectable manner. So speech and English are essential. They serve their purposes, too. So I try to encourage my students and not degrade general education. Instead, I try to do the opposite and show them how and tell them how important it is. And my actual auto students in our school have the least amount of gen ed trouble.
You were perfect. He summed it up. He says, we have to know how to talk to people. There's more math than ever than anyone would realize. And let's talk about the science. Our cars are all about physics today. I mean, right. it really is. There's nothing that's missing. And it's perfect. But we're doing a terrible job of convincing the students why they got to show up at the English class.
Most students, I teach at the high school level, junior, seniors. We have them half day each. In our two-instructor program, we have about 60 students for next year's class recruitment.
That's looks a big good. Number.
It is. Yeah. It is big. We have about 75 applicants for about 40 positions for next year. So the skilled trades are doing well, and so is automotive.
Yay. I'm sorry, but I have to say parents and counselors and principals are recognizing that not everyone should go to college. And I'm not saying college is bad today, but who wants the debt that comes with a big 4-year degree of something you don't even know you want to do because mom and dad or the counselor said yes. I did a great interview with the Big Picture program. Anybody know what that's? The Big Picture program is it's a shadowing intern program for all skilled trades, and it happens to be pretty big up in my town. Do you know about Big Picture? Mm-hmm. Okay, and I know some shops that have the school drives them over, pays the insurance. They're there like 4 to 6 hours a week. And if we were going to have apprentice programs in our industry, it kind of starts with internships and it starts with high school people. Everyone says, where am I going to find my new tech to come into my apprentice program to grow it and not worry about the industry shortage? Where do I get them? You have to have a relationship with, you know, with high school. You have to start talking to the kids in maybe middle school, huh? Mm-hmm. That Thanksgiving Day dinner talk. So, Johnny, what have you thought about, you know, you're going to go to college? What would you like to be when you grow up? I love to work with my hands. I love to tear things apart. You're in computer games. Aren't you going to go to Google and apply? And how about this as a response to that? This is really cool. Well, if you can't get a job at Google, become an automotive technician. Because you'll have as much technology to play with than ever.
I would say majority of the students that come in do not think they're going to go to college until we've planted that seed, and over the 2-year period, they're figuring out their pathway that with all the changes and all the technology and all the things, and they can see careers that we connect to. College now becomes an option for them, but they had probably given up on it by the time they came to us.
Excellent.
So, yeah.
You know, the hardest part is that during COVID, people were limited to talk to each other, to meet with each other. And then all of a sudden during COVID, we learned all these new technologies like Zoom and Teams and Google Meets and stuff, and we could actually meet people that were a distance away. Now we have you know, more college teachers and high school teachers talking together, planning together, communicating together. And now we even have high school teachers meeting with middle school teachers. And, you know, my own son is in a STEM program in a middle school in Minnesota, and he, you know, the high school teachers talk with the middle school teachers about what the different careers are and what the different skill sets are and what the different things are. And here he is in middle school in seventh grade, building things that are STEM related and car related. And hopefully, you know, he's getting engaged at a younger level. So I think that there's a lot that's going on with engaging them at a younger level so that we don't have this horrendous technician shortage forever. But it does take a village to raise a child, and the industry has to be involved with that voice getting
Bill,
in there.
Since you're the high school level, what if I owned a shop and I contacted the school and I said, can I come in and talk at Career Day?
Absolutely.
You'd welcome me, right?
Yeah, we have quite a few people on our advisory committee, and that doesn't mean they have to attend every meeting, but you would be on our advisory committee.
Okay.
And we've incorporated quite a few activities with our program, one called an industry roundtable. So we have people from industry and alumni, and we set them up at different tables, and we rotate students through with questions to talk to how to connect and how do I get. And
I mean, that's a great idea. We're having career days today at our college where all the dealers come in with their beautiful booth, and the students are required to talk to two or three of them. Oh, okay, I got to go. But I love it. It's a panel discussion.
The more you incorporate industry across the board and alumni, the voices get pretty loud. And we're talking just mock interviews, but not necessarily mock interviews. Students get interviewed, they think, for a grade, which turns into a job and a connective career pathway. The struggle I think we have, to your point, was internships and apprenticeships. That happens at the college level pretty good with corporate programs, but when we're talking generally across the board, to get a student what they used to call fourth quarter release, now it's called an apprenticeship or an internship. It's really tough to establish that in our industry.
This is for all the girls and ladies out there. This industry is for you, too. It's a wide, big industry, and it's not just for the guys anymore. I got four girls in my program right now, and one of them has even won the scholarship and is here this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll see us tonight up on stage getting her scholarship, and I find that these girls have really good diagnostic abilities. They have ways to think and figure things out, and I know it kind of might make you guys mad, but man, they can really think and do. And my one recent graduate, she went on and went through a Mercedes-Benz program, and now she lives in Georgia, and she calls me all the time, and she's making great money, loving her job, and she says she doesn't get dirty because she knows how to use electronics.
So let me confirm this woman thing for you. One of our shows in the network, Matt Fonslow, Diagnosing the Aftermarket A to Z, did an interview with a lady called Liz Perkins. Her husband is Keith Perkins. He's got a mobile diag business with three trucks on the road, Oklahoma, and a brick-and-mortar shop. So Liz is the wife helping him run the business, and she says, I can do that. She is now a master mobile diagnostician, programming all kinds of stuff, and as a part-time mom and worker. So you're right. You're absolutely, you're so right. And for Liz, she says, well, this wasn't hard. You got to listen to the interview. Just go to Matt's show and look for Liz Perkins. It's great. So look at, thank you so much for being here. One final question. We're talking to service advisors, shop owners, top shops, medium shops. We're talking to technicians. How can we help? Each of you have a chance to give me your final word here.
I'd say just get involved. You know, go to the classroom, meet the students, have a presence. I've had most success with getting students jobs just by those service managers coming in and talking to the students and let them know what they can, not just what they can offer, but just let them know about the industry, because it's one thing to hear it from us, but if they hear it from someone in the industry, I think it sticks a little more.
Thanks. Use that as marching orders. Jared, you make a great point. Jared Monroe, Automotive Technology at the Columbia Public Schools. Thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome.
Chris?
So, you know, Jared said get involved. I'd say ditto. But, you know, this old adage that if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem is definitely it. All of all the shops that I talk to, independent dealer, whatever it is, If they're involved in some way, shape, or form, they're usually successful with getting a tech from a school, or they don't have a technician crisis, or it's minimal compared to others. Get involved. But I think the key thing there is that when we say the word get involved, it's every different personality, every different person has a different thing, and they have different abilities and different capabilities. We're all really different people, right? So some shops really, really want to and have the ability to donate a car or donate lots of money. They just have that ability and they want to do that. That's fine. Some shops just don't have that money and they can't donate that, and that's okay because they have a seat at the table too. They can provide an internship. They can do job shadowing, field trips. Maybe they happen to do in their particular business a lot of engine R&Rs. Okay, so they've got a lot of core engines that maybe didn't get sent back for core, or maybe they were not good usable cores. Those things can be used by their, but you don't know where you fit and what you have for a skill until you get involved.
Knock on the door.
Yeah, just knock on that door. You know, schools and teachers, they have open doors. And yes, during COVID, you have to go through the front door now instead of the back door. But maybe someday we'll get back to the back door by the dust collectors and the wood shops. But they just have to get involved. Think of the one takeaway is that they have to know that we have open doors. And we need talents and people of all shapes, walks, ways of life, and everything, because everybody can contribute and have a return on investment in their own little way.
I love it. More marching orders.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Chris Hatfield, Minnesota State Transportation Center of Excellence, the executive director. So glad you're here, Bill.
Yes, I would say first, thank you for you, Carm, for inviting us today, and Tim Dwyer, and the Educator Think Tank here at Vision, all the organizations that help support this industry. I feel like in our programs, we create a small automotive family, and that's what this is here, a big automotive family. But, you know, to kind of jump on that too, we've got to get our programs out there. I think we're the best kept secret that a lot of people don't know about. Even in the industry, even as a working tech, I was never on an advisory committee. But through Vision, I've learned different connections and pathways, and I found my way to where I'm at now. I think the misconception that if you're in an automotive program, that means you're going to be an auto tech. I think it can be opened up to say that there's multiple careers in this field. If you call it transportation umbrella, as I present it to my students, then we connect them to that. So we're another pathway. So I just want to, you know, thank you all for this opportunity, and let's keep getting the voice out.
The Educators Think Tank here at Vision. Bill Lieb, thank you so much. Automotive technology instructor at Fort Osage.
Very close. Osage.
Fort Osage. You can't, see, it was 48 minutes ago, and I still didn't learn anything here. Fort Osage. Can't teach an old dog any new tricks. Here you go. Richard, your final word.
Bill, you're still a great teacher, even though you didn't teach him how to pronounce it. That's okay. No, and Carm, I'd like to reiterate that too. Thank you so much for having us today, in your passion to help educators, and also Tim Dwyer. He has a passion for education and at Vision Educator Think Tank. Tim wasn't going to let this go to rest this year at all costs. He wanted something. So that's the kind of passion. And so that's what we want. We want people to get involved. I know that if you're an accredited program, ASC has got for shop owners, adopt a school. I would encourage shop owners to get a hold of your school and just knock on the door, like you say, and see what you can do. Every time I go to try to talk to people, like, oh, here comes Richard, he wants money, or he wants a car, or no, I just want to talk to you just to see if. So I always start off by inviting them to an advisory board meeting so they can just see how things go, and then they notice something. They're like, hey, you know what? Like you said, I got 10 LS engines sitting in the back there just rotting away doing nothing. Can you use them? You betcha. Anything, big and small, just knock on the door, ask us, hey, you know, if I ask for something too big, just tell me, no, I can't do that. Is there something else I can do? I mean, I got a list. So,
we need a new Pico-scope, right?
But once again, thank you and your daughter for having us today, yeah. And thank all the rest of the guys here.
Richard Cox, automotive technology instructor and department chair at North Central Kansas Technical College. Guys, Thank you to our listener. Each of them gave you a universal yet unique marching order. Please help us. Thanks, guys, for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.